You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to plan the travel experiences you'll have once you arrive. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, activities, excursions, and more in one place to make your trip truly unforgettable. Viator has over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from. Everything from simple tours to extreme adventures and all the niche, interesting stuff in between. So you can plan something that everyone you're traveling with will enjoy. Real traveler reviews give the inside scoop from people who've already been on the experiences you're considering, so you can plan with confidence. Free cancellation helps you plan for the unexpected, and 24/7 customer support means you can travel worry-free. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Shop all things Cherry Johnson at TheRealCherry.com.
Cherry's World is brought to you by Less Is More Events. Get in line.
Welcome to Cherry's World Podcast. Today we are live. I got Courtney in the house, but I also have Mr. Ocean and Mr. Crucial in the house from Pens Deep. Today's show will be sponsored by, oh God, what is it, Courtney? Say it again, because I'm going to fuck up the name.
Is it Stockriton?
I think it's Strodicon.
Strodicon, Jesus.
Strodicon and their water bottles. You can find them on Strodicon at IG, and they are fruit infused. I don't know if y'all can see, but I got some cantaloupe in here. And they're bomb because the fruit is actually in its own little container, so it ain't all messed up in the water as you're drinking it. It just has a hint of cantaloupe in it. They put me up on Gabe yesterday, and I've been drinking through them ever since.
This is Cherry's World.
Hey, if you're listening to Cherry's World Podcast on Apple Podcasts and iTunes, please give us a 5-star. Let us know what you think. Leave us a review. I want to hear from you. Thank you.
Would you like to advertise on Cherry's World and have your product placed on Cherry's social media for the world to see? Email us now at cherriesworldpodcast@gmail.com for low introductory rates. Cherry's World Podcast. Get heard. Cherry's World New Music Spotlight.
Like what you say, yeah, they all do. Say you know me, but I don't know you. Talking about it, don't mind if I do. Trying to control me, yeah. That was the wrong move. Cause I do what I want when I want how I want it. Now I wanna move, so let's go get it started. You know once I do, yeah, there's no way to stop it. You can't take me off the floor. This body you can't control. Sin. Cause I do what I want when I want how I want it. Now I wanna move, so let's go get it started. You know once I do, yeah, there's no way to stop it. You can't take me off the floor. Let it start it down. This body you can't control. Yeah. You can't take me off the floor. Let it start it down. You can't take me off the floor.
Without further ado, welcome Pins Deep and thank you for being here.
Thank you for having us.
Absolutely. So guys, what is going on? When I was reading your bio, it says Miami, Los Angeles. You giving me the best of both worlds, or is one from one place and one from the other?
Yeah, absolutely, man. It's definitely getting the best of both worlds, but we both actually grew up in Florida. And so we just kind of, you know, brought all that Miami and, you know, all that West Coast influence and, you know, community with growing up in Florida and being around the, you know, the 100 and Tallahassee, FAMU and all of that, and came up with this really dope sound.
Okay, so a little background. Tallahassee, somebody's a college student. Who went to college? Both you guys?
Both of us did. Graduated. We'd like to defer to the term of corporate thugs. So
corporate thugs is what we became.
Yeah. I actually have an engineering firm. He's a pharmaceutical sales rep. So.
Exactly, yeah.
Beautiful. And then somebody over there then pledged.
Oh.
Yeah.
You're talking about this thing here.
Yeah, tell me what that thing is all about.
You're talking about that.
You're talking about this, what you saying?
I saw that, you can't get nothing by me.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, I'm sorry. Let's go ahead and talk about your sound now, because we're here to talk about music, not the engineer or the sales rep.
I know, right?
Yeah.
Y'all got a release coming out on the 18th, right?
We have a release coming out September 18th. Yes, the record.
On Foundation Media.
On Foundation Media. The record is called Do What I Want. Us and Sophia Camille, who's actually at Florida State.
Oh, is she's there now or she graduated?
She's there now. So what's really cool is I've known her for about 3 or 4 years. And she's always been an incredible guitar player, singer. And when he made this beat, I saw some of the stuff that she was doing on Instagram, and I said, man, her pen is getting really nice. And so we reached out to her, and we sent her the track, and she just smashed it. And so we kind of started building the song around the vocals that she laid for us, and that's kind of how we came up with this record, Do What I Want.
She's beautiful, too.
Yeah.
So is she a part of the group Pins Deep, or is she just an artist that you guys work with?
Yeah, she's an artist that we're featuring, but.
Okay, now Joey, I see you're also, you do A&R.
I do.
Can you tell us a little bit about that?
I love finding artists, because I know what it was like, you know, when I was an independent artist, you know, trying to get signed and whatnot. So I love finding artists that are doing things and you know, they think that their sound is this, and I'm like, okay, cool, that's your sound, but you know, what if you tried this? I think it would be dope if we put you with this type of producer, or if we put you on this type of crucial beat, with this type of artist, with this type of writer. And so I love developing talent and connecting talent with other producers and songwriters.
That's awesome. So are any of your talents right now signed to like major labels, or do you A&R for major labels?
Yeah, so.
Well, we have one song that we will probably re-record, but one of the artists that was on there.
She was on Sony, yeah, so that was dope. And then one of the artists that we're also featuring on our project, she was on Universal. So some of these artists have had situations, now that, you know, doing independent or trying to get another major situation. So we've been working with indies and people from majors. So it's been a pretty cool process.
Congratulations.
Mm-hmm. Thank you very much.
So I saw that. So who's the lost member of Jodeci?
that would be me, man. In my mind, I think I was probably Mr. Dalvin's cousin or something, you know. I'm the fifth member of Jodeci.
Right.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. Their arrangements, you know, the Devontae Smith's chord progressions, you know, we're showing our age, but I mean, that's a really big influence in terms of, you know, wanting to do vocal arranging and just do stuff that was kind of really out of the box. So
right.
they tease me about that all the time. They're like, God, man, that's a lot of harmonies, man. I'm like, no, it's not. It's not enough. It's not enough harmonies.
Right. Right.
I love it. So does that mean you can sing or you can sing?
I sing.
Put a note together in there.
Yeah.
I mean, he's all right.
I'm cool.
He's all right.
I'm cool.
What about you? Do you sing?
I have done a little bit, but I mostly just get behind the keyboard or, you know, the drum machine or a sampler and do my thing that way.
Oh, he's
the professionals.
The producer.
Yes.
The engineer. That makes all the sense in the world. I didn't know. You know, some engineers can blow. They pick their head up.
Don't let him fool you.
I'm bad right now because I'm hoarse. It was his birthday yesterday, so we were...
Oh.
We've been celebrating there and not getting enough sleep and all that kind of stuff. So,
yeah,
but I do okay.
Now he's definitely that guy. When we're in a session and, you know, I'm trying to give the artist notes and he'll be in the back like, no, I'm like,
right.
You know what I'm saying? That's him. Where these notes coming from.
Right.
Yeah.
I was going to say, yeah, because they'll definitely pick their head up and be like, mama, wrong note.
Yeah. He's like, you need to get up on that G.
Yeah.
Get up on the G. Yeah, that's him.
I love it. So birthday yesterday. Happy belated birthday.
Yes, sir.
Thank you,
so much.
Thank you.
How was your COVID birthday? Like, what did you do?
Man, you know, COVID, man, you got to get creative. Mm-hmm. We're actually at a resort right now, and, you know, you got pools, and there's libation everywhere, and we're in Florida, so it's about 125 degrees,
right?
And we're safe. You know, we're half mask, half in the water. You know, so it's just a blessing. So many other people had a rough time during COVID and are still having a rough time. So to be able to even celebrate it like this, you know, I'm thankful. I got my people with me, so it's all good.
Oh, can we ask how old are you?
Ooh,
daddy, you're old.
Or how old is he? Well, we already know you know about some Jodeci because you don't want yourself.
I already let you know.
Right.
I see that your influences are Michael Jackson, Quincy Jones.
Right.
Yeah,
that's right.
So Aerosmith.
I just turned 41.
Hey.
Yeah. That was a baby.
Yeah, just
get the baby over there. Celebrate that, baby.
Yeah.
So how long y'all been doing music then?
Oh, man.
That's a loaded question.
Yeah. I mean, we're both band kids. You know what I'm saying? I think I started playing in a marching band in fifth grade. And I don't know when he started, but he started playing sax.
Yeah, I started when I was in the sixth grade. So I've got him by about 4 years now. So I'm 45. Yeah. So I started in the sixth grade. Playing the saxophone, and like I said, in the band, you know, you just go in there and just start picking up every instrument in the band room, start playing all of them.
Right.
You know, kind of takes off from there.
In sixth grade, you started playing the saxophone?
Yeah. It's a culture, man. It's a culture.
It's a cult-like following. You can't, it's hard to get away from it.
You start off with one instrument, and then they're like, hey, you know, we need somebody on quads. And then they're like, hey, can you play cymbals? Can you play snare drum? Mm-hmm. And the next thing you know, you're playing everything in a percussion section. And then in my case, I was drum major. And so it was just a progression for us just as far. And he can play ridiculous instruments in the woodwind. So we just kept learning more and more instruments. And so by the time we got to college, we were like, man, well, shoot, what's up with the other side of music? You know, mm-hmm. the songwriting side, the production side. So, yeah, we've been doing this since we were kids.
Right.
Amazing. And I love that you say that because now we're in a homeschool era where so many of people are forced to homeschool. Right. I'm a firm believer in having music in school because it's statistically known that most kids who play instruments when they're young go off and go to college.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Right here, you guys are living
through. Yeah. I mean, even like, you know, kind of to your point, you know, being in Tallahassee and going to FAM, you know, that was it. I mean, if you were able to be around the Marching 100 every day, I mean, it's impossible to walk away with anything other than just a huge appreciation for music.
It's also known that kids who play music and go to college have a higher IQ.
I'm just saying.
I'm not.
I'm not buying it. Saxophone, sixth grade, pretty impressive, and a sexy instrument.
It is a nice instrument. I was kind of forced into it, but that's a different story. You know, you come home with your dreams, like you learn how to buzz the mouthpiece or something like that. So, daddy, I'm gonna play trumpet. No, you're not. We have a saxophone right there.
Right.
But you play trumpet at school. You're playing saxophone at home.
Yeah.
So it's generational with you guys.
Yeah, I think so. Yeah.
And what's crazy is my dad plays sax. So when I came home and started beating on everything with drumsticks, they're like, "Will you just stop beating on the couch?" And I was like, "What do you mean?" You know what I'm saying? So yeah, it's my mom played clarinet. It's definitely our whole family's musical.
I believe that kind of stuff is in your family. Courtney's daughter plays the piano. I woke up to a piano this morning and to a ukulele.
There you go. Oh, you saw them, right? You caught that.
Let's see how that turns out in my life.
My daughter's playing a ukulele too sometimes. That's great.
Is she?
Yeah, she's learning it, yeah.
That's amazing. And who in your family is musical? Courtney, do you come from
a background? Yeah, I actually do. My aunt was in the Supremes. She replaced Diana Ross.
Yeah.
Wow.
That little fun fact.
Yeah, that little tidbit.
No, it's just a little minor detail.
Yeah.
You should start with that.
nothing major.
Major, but it's definitely, I believe, generational. So do you guys have children?
Yeah. Yes. I have one boy. And
I have three little girls.
Three girls.
And how are they handling COVID?
Well,
you gotta be creative.
Yeah. You know, when it first started, you know, our son, he's in Montessori. We live in Jacksonville. And it was actually right on the heels of his spring break. So it was spring break. So he was home, you know, we work. And then after that, it was COVID. And he's like, okay. And he's like, okay, well, I'm ready to go back to school. Like, well, we're not there yet, and it's hard to watch for a while. So we got creative. You know, we took them out and played every day, and you know, thank God for my wife, she's a former teacher herself. So I was elevated to the status of substitute teacher. but yeah, it was rough. It was rough to deal with. Yeah.
That's amazing, though. And does he play any instruments?
He has a guitar, a drum, a trumpet. Xylophone. He's got a lot of stuff in there.
That's awesome.
I mean, he's
feel like, I feel like I bought him a piano or something.
A piano, yeah.
I'm always pushing piano.
Because once you can play the keys, they say you can play anything.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
I get everybody's kid a piano. That's my gift.
Thanks. Thanks.
And that's good that you got promoted to substitute teacher, because I never could make it past, you know, cafeteria guy. That's all I was good for was lunch and recess. I did do recess pretty good.
Yeah,
that was me. I was PE coach, janitor, and chef.
And you have three girls, right?
We have three girls, yeah.
How are you handling that? That's a lot of, like, I've got one girl, and it's just, it's a lot.
It's an adventure, yeah. I mean, like you said, for us and a lot of kids, you know, it was spring break, COVID. So for about the first probably month and a half, it was just like, we're still on spring break. And I was like, I can only do the trampoline so much, you know, like, I mean, how many times are we going to do the trampoline thing? And then it just had to, you know, just had to get creative. Right. It was, you know, longer bicycle trips, you know, more trips to the beach.
Right. Swimming every day.
Swimming. You know, going on YouTube, learning karate. I'm teaching karate.
Right.
Yeah. You know, I was like, listen, you know, so I'm trying to teach these kids how to do karate based on what I saw on YouTube, and you know, a lot of dance battles,
TikToks.
Yeah, we made a couple of TikToks. You know, singing contests. So you know,
I love that. For me, it's important for the people in Cherry's world not only to get to know your music, get to know your career, but get to know a little bit about the men that you are. So they're both family men.
Right. Yes.
They both have children. They both trying to be homeschool parents right now, just like everybody else.
If someone
wanted to, like, just like give me a go-to song to describe, like, what they can know about Pens Deep, what song would you recommend someone to hear? They just need one song to get a good feel for you
something
guys.
Something of ours or something that would be similar?
One of y'all's, yeah.
Man, we do so many different styles, but yeah. I would probably say, I know me personally as a songwriter stay and a vocalist would be Stay In. I just think that it just shows you, you know, what we can do in terms of, you know, vocal arrangement right. and, you know, still having, you know, the track with that heavy 808 and the drums in there. And you know, I'm sure for you as the producer.
That Stay In is a pretty good one. Yeah. Or I would say Drip.
Oh, yeah. See, we haven't even released that one yet. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, so. I would say I didn't hear that one.
Oh.
Oh, yeah. We'll send you that one.
Yeah, we'll send it to you.
I was like, I didn't get that.
you play that one when the kids go to bed.
Right. Yeah, that is definitely a 9 o'clock break.
Thank you for the heads up. Now, you guys write all your music too, right?
Yes.
They say that you can only write what you've been through or what you've seen or what you've experienced.
Not really, no. So I feel like for us as songwriters, yes, that part is definitely true. But then I think the other part is, you know, so say, for example, if we were writing something for you, you might tell us about something that you've experienced. And then it's our job to sell the fantasy, right? To help other people feel, what was it about what you went through at that time or what you want to experience? What is it that you want to experience and how do we put that into the record for you? And so, you know, that's the other side for us is how do we create the fantasy? How do we create the experience for you vocally, musically? You know, if it's something that we personally haven't experienced, right? So if you come talking, you know, if someone's talking about, you know, cocaine and stuff, I'm like, I mean, I can't really write about that, but how did you feel?
Right.
You know? Let's make a record. Okay.
Right, exactly.
Right. You know, so that's the other side of it. And we love that part of the challenge.
That's awesome. So you are open to write for other artists if you are interested in their genre.
Yes, but even to the point of your question, we were doing something in Atlanta. I think we were in a conference or something. And one of the songwriters that we worked with said, hey, you know, my manager knows somebody that's tied to a country group. Can you guys do a country record? And I was like, I'll go do one tonight. Yeah. And she was like, are you serious?
Yeah,
so we went and did a country record, which came out incredible.
It did.
You know, I love it.
It just depends. You know, it's all over the place. But yeah, definitely writing for other people. That's one of the benefits of being able to bring that to the world. So,
yeah.
My question for you guys being like a group, most groups don't last long. They have, and I'm not trying to get messy with it, but it's just reality. Are you guys worried about that, or have you thought about, you know, what to avoid, not to be like another group or whatever like that? Have you guys thought about that?
So the funny part, I mean, the funny part about that is we've been friends for so long. You right. know what I mean? Like we're in high school, we literally were doing this in the hallway. Didn't really know each other.
Right. Okay.
And it wasn't until like after college when it's like, hey, you went to FAMU? Yeah, I went to FAMU. When did you go to FAMU? I went to FAMU, you know. So it was that kind of thing. But we've always seen each other around campus, you know, have mutual friends. And so we've been friends for a long time. And then, you know, once I left the entertainment industry and kind of went to being a corporate thug, that's when he kind of ramped up
right.
and was doing music and all these different beat battles. And
well, it's his fault. Let's start off with that. So him and the family came up to visit and, you know, he just ran off like 3 or 4 little tidbits and then went to bed. And I was like, wait, what? So he gets up the next morning and I was like, I found out about ASCAP. There's a conference here. You can do this. You can do this. You can do that. And he's like, okay. So I went to the conference. You know, a couple of weeks later, I was like, okay, I got this beat. He's like, you know, did another one. And after a while, it started getting better and better and better. And he's like, okay, you're not gonna go away, are you? So I'm not really too worried about that part of it because, you know, we know what each other's, we've always had the conversations about what is our passion in terms of what we want to do
right.
as far as writing and A&R and production and being, you know, kind of a go-to guy for many different things. So it's not so much a group in terms of, you know, breaking right. up. It would be right. the closest comparison, I would say, would be like Outkast, you know.
Oh, okay.
Everybody's like, what happened with Andre and Big Boy? And he's like, no, he's doing this, I'm doing that. And then they come right back together.
Right.
So okay. Would you guys think that that's a good comparison? Call yourself like Outkast? Because I was thinking like Neptunes. Maybe y'all like more like Neptunes.
That Yeah.
That's probably a very similar, exactly. Yes, that's a good one.
Okay.
So, Crucial, do you have Crucial? Not Crucial. I'm trying to make it.
Tomato, tomato.
I like how you put that little. Yeah.
Crucial. Yeah. Do you have a favorite genre that you like working in?
Favorite genre is going to be R&B, hands down.
What about you, Ocean?
So surprisingly, definitely R&B is. I'm an R&B dude, but I love alternative music. That really trips people out, and I'm like, no, I love alternative music. That's probably one of my favorite genres to write, and I like writing it over non-alternative beats or music. So those two are my favorites.
Wow. So what are we expecting to hear when we hear the whole album? I know we have the single dropping September 16th or 18th.
18th.
Okay, September 18th, the single is dropping. What genre is that? Is that R&B?
So it's not really R&B. It's more of a dance record. So I would probably, actually we've been trying to talk about what's the best category to put that in other than dance.
Yeah.
It's kind of a, what do you think?
The genres are so blurred now. It's definitely a kind of pop R&B, pop soul record. This is our single that's coming out on the 18th. So I would say pop soul. But as far as the project, when you hear the whole project, you're gonna hear fusions of genres. You're gonna hear someone who's extremely soulful, but it may be over an alternative, you know, type track, you know, like I was just kind of describing. Or for example, you know, with Sophia Camille. Sophia Camille is really kind of a, folk singer is a really bad term. But
indie, probably.
She's indie. You know, she's very eclectic. An amazing writer. She can sing any style, but she has her own vibe. And one of the things that's really cool about working with artists like Sophia Camille is we can take someone who would normally be in this lane and say, hey, you know, drive over here for a second and see how it feels. And the product that comes out of that has been pretty cool.
Right.
And so you're going to hear some fusions, but ultimately it's going to just be nonstop, you know, heavy beats, Crucial really put in a lot of work on these on this production.
Thank you.
You're gonna try doing music. I'm gonna try to get there.
Hey guys, a guy named Chesco wants to know, can they listen to your music now? Where can they listen to your music now?
Yeah, for sure. So right now we have the pre-save link on pensdeep.com. You can go there and check out some of our music. Again, that's pensdeep.com. PensDeep.com. We'll start posting more snippets after, you know, we finish talking with you guys. And then from there, we'll just be rolling out singles over the next 3 to 6 months. You hear more and more music from us.
And we will post everything you put up.
Thank you.
Thank you. Absolutely. What else do you want the fans to know about you guys?
What do you want the fans to know?
Yeah, because everybody won't give you a platform just to say what you want. They ask you questions. They put out the narrative that they want people to know about you. What do you want people to know?
So one thing for me is, you know, we obviously take the music very seriously. It's not something we just kind of do offhand. It's not a hobby. So what we kind of want people to know is that you can have more than one thing. Like, I'm an engineer, but I'm also a producer, you know. So there's not one particular thing. You don't have to stay in one lane. So what we want them to know about us, or from my perspective, is your limitations are basically what you come up with in your mind. From us, it's unlimited. There is no limit.
Yeah, and I think just to kind of piggyback off of that, as far as us, you know, we started off over the last couple of years really just trying to do things in television and film, and we kept. A lot of independent artists started coming to us about saying, hey, I want something that sounds like this. I've never been able to find anybody that can do this particular sound. So I think that I want artists to know, artists, songwriters, producers, that, hey, when you don't have to stay in a certain box, right? If you're an R&B singer, if you're a pop singer, if you're a country singer, but you want something out of the box, there are producers like Penn's Deep out here that we're like, bring it to us. You know what I'm saying? We'll make it into a smash record. And that's what we're going to continue to do. So that's what I would want people to know about PNC. We love music, period.
Right.
songwriting, period, no genre, yeah.
Right, and everything's on the table.
I love that because I have people who constantly try to keep me in a box. Right. We interviewed a lady who's at the U.S. Open right now playing tennis, and I actually had people writing us telling me, you shouldn't ask those questions, you should have let another tennis player ask those questions. I'm like, wait, because I'm not a tennis player? I can't ask about tennis?
Wow.
Where does that come from? I watched tennis. Right. I tried to play tennis. I wasn't good at it.
Hey, I heard you guys say it twice now, and I want you guys to elaborate on this. What does corporate thug mean?
Man. All right. So corporate thug. So I was signed to a production label. And so when I got out of that deal, I moved back to Florida and went right into corporate. I had never been in corporate before, ever. So I'm coming fresh from LA, fresh off the music scene. So I still had a mohawk, you know, earrings. You know, I wasn't wearing suits. I was dressing like an artist for, you know, the previous 3 years. So when I got to corporate and had to, you know, cut the mohawk off and no more earrings and jewelry, and I'm sitting up in these meetings, you know, I used to get these comments from the managers all the time, like, you're not really a corporate guy, are you? You know, and I would say, no, but my numbers would be through the roof. And so they're like, well, what is it about the way you're selling, the way you're doing your presentations that are making customers, you know, want to buy your product to be X, Y, and Z? And same thing with him with his firm.
Right.
When you meet engineers, you don't necessarily think that, okay, you know, this guy does beats and he does this and he does right. that. So it's just being able to survive in corporate, play the corporate game, and then have this whole other lifestyle. And then on top of that, be in corporate and smash it.
Right.
We're just in corporate, like we're smashing it. So we just call ourselves corporate thugs.
Right. And then to add to that, the same way that I approach business, the same way I approach deals and contracts and negotiations and fixed fees and all that, that's the same exact way I approach the music. If you have to be to work at 8 o'clock and you're there till 5 and you take an hour lunch, he comes up to
no game,
he comes to the house and we have to record music or something, and like my wife will come in and say, hey, are you guys gonna eat today at all?
No.
I mean, but it's the same thing, the same way, just like you have a project that has to be turned in, you have a deadline. That's the same exact way we approach music.
That's the best definition of corporate thug that I've heard, because it's a live show, so I don't know who's watching, but I don't want to say the type of examples that I've heard of corporate thugs from women, and I'm like, be careful what you ask for now. Be careful.
No, but playing the lines, I like that you said you meet your deadlines. Like, it's serious. The people who excel in business that I know, that's how they approach it. It's a job.
Oh, yeah.
I know guys that stay in the studio for 3-4 days in a row. They come out, they don't even know that time has passed because there's no time.
Right.
Yeah. I mean, I think when people think about music or entertainment in general, they think that, oh, it's just so much fun and it's a dream. God, I wish I could do this and do that. But it is so much work. And we're in the studio that long because we have to get it right.
Right.
It has to be right. You know, so I think you have to approach everything with that same level of excellence. It's got to be right. It's got to be your very best every time.
Even that song we're talking about with Sophia Camille, it's just under 3 minutes, but that song probably took, you know, 50 hours to make.
Oh, yeah.
All in.
Wow. Exactly.
And that's what people don't understand. Like, these people that are saying, I want to be a rapper, and they buy in studio time, and you in there for an hour, and you did your song.
That's hot.
That's not life. These men take 3 months and mix down a whole album.
Right.
That's just the mixing process. Like,
exactly.
Entertainment is not an overnight game. It ain't no hobby. It ain't always fun. It ain't no 9 to 5.
No. Exactly.
And mind you, we did probably the last 3 or 4 records during COVID. Right. So you're talking about on Zoom with artists in the UK and out on the West Coast, and it's 3 o'clock in the morning our time, and we're on Zoom up writing songs and going back and forth with mixes and splicing and, you know, X, Y, and Z and changing beats. So, you know, we really put in work on this thing while people were trying to figure out, oh my God, I can't do anything during Zoom. We were like, let's find a way.
Right. Exactly.
Let's find a way to win.
Exactly.
Yeah.
I love that. That's why I said successful people, at least the successful people that I know, this COVID has not been a break for them. There has been no downtime. This is go time.
Yeah, that was exactly. That was foot on the gas right there. That was two gas pedals, no brakes.
Yeah, exactly.
Hey, you know, R&B is my favorite genre. I love R&B. So what's some of y'all favorite like R&B joints, you know, from like back in the day or like what era R&B are y'all?
I think everything from the show After Party the Tour is going to be number one. That's okay. Seven right there.
Yeah. Okay.
Okay. So
let me see. My favorite genre, I mean, like just time period of R&B.
Yeah.
Man, probably mid-90s to, you know, early 2000s. I just feel like just the musicality, you know, people used to have interludes. Remember that? Like,
you know,
people would like come on there with interludes and they'd be like interlude thanking God. Then it'd be like a phone call interlude like, yo, I'm coming on. You know, like it was like this roller coaster of music. Songs had bridges. Mm-hmm. Songs used to have bridges, man. So I think musically, I missed that part of music. When people wasn't just like, okay, let's just make a song about, you know, come beat it up. It was like, you know, let me make this a full-blown record with, you know, with bridges and ad-libs and X, Y, and Z. And I mean, it was a real record. So that's probably my favorite people of R&B.
You definitely speaking my language. I love to hear that stuff.
Right? Now, I want to bring you to my language. I'm sorry. I like me some Green Day. I love me some No Doubt. So from the alternative, like what are your favorites? What do you like? I wanted to be Courtney Love. You know what I'm saying?
So my favorite would be, I don't know about yours. I got to say Nirvana.
Nirvana, I already knew you were going to go.
Yeah. Mm. When they came out, that changed the game for me as far as the intro to what rock could be, right? Smashing Pumpkins, Chemical Romance. I thought Courtney Love was a freaking rock star, man. I was like, wow, she's on something else.
Right.
And then what's really a trip is when you look at what Lenny Kravitz was doing back then, it's like he was ahead of his time. If he came out right now.
Right.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. So yeah, now I speak that language too.
Oh, man, me too, because I love it. Like a lot of my white friends can't believe that I'm a Bon Jovi fan. And I was like, man, like that dude Richie Sambora on the guitar, ain't nobody like it right there, man. So
yeah, it's funny because we're at this resort and Eagles came on, the little band was playing Eagles.
Yeah,
and, you know, most of the black people were kind of still chilling. Right. Me and him were like, welcome to California. You know,
right. That's good, man. You're supposed to be well-rounded, man. Cause I just hate to see people. I don't want to say that, but I hate to see people only like know one part of music. Like, and you call yourself an artist, you gotta know everything and everybody. Like,
everything.
Yeah.
That was one of the things I loved about Quincy Jones in his movie that he did. He basically, I don't know, someone asked him somewhere, you know, what kind of producer? His answer was music producer. Like he couldn't even,
right, like period,
like music. Like he didn't even want to go to R&B or soul. And he was just like music. That's it. Right? Just music, period.
There's nothing that man can't do. You guys are mentioning my first crushes in the whole world was Mr. Quincy Jones. Mm. And that's because I used to play with his kids and he brought me jelly donuts.
Mm. Also, you should lead with that.
Yeah.
He brought me jelly
donuts. Other credentials, she can lead with that too. Someone else wants to know, would there be a music video for your new single?
You went down on us a little bit.
Oh, my bad.
We lost your volume. He said, will there be a music video?
Yeah, definitely.
Yes.
You
want to talk about that?
Sure. It's for us, it's kind of just trying to find a way to be creative in COVID and still, you know, deliver like a great product, right? So we don't want to just shoot some clips and splice them together. So we're just trying to figure out what would that concept look like and how can we safely do it,
right?
You know, to really tell the story of this song and the next couple of songs that we're going to release. So absolutely.
I just want to know, is some footage going to be released from the resort that you guys are at right now?
Even.
You know, yes, a little bit. But one of them, you know, one of the things that makes me happiest is when the kids hear the music. First of all, the kids will let you know if they don't like it immediately.
Yeah.
But when we played that record, I mean, they were all over the floor dancing. My son is 4. He thinks he's a break dancer. Uncle Kenny, but he starts spinning around on the floor and they start doing all kind of little things like that. So we'll probably have something like that in some footage for him.
Exactly.
Which one of y'all the Freemason?
Uh-oh.
You're gone again. You're really down. Okay, so until Courtney go ahead.
Which one of y'all is the Freemason?
Can you hear him? It's Krush.
Yeah, Krush is a free,
Okay, so we're live, so I'm just gonna keep going. Freemasonry, I don't know anything about being a Mason. Can you tell us, because there's so many, when you look on the internet, right? Mm-hmm. There's so many narratives of what a Mason is, what a Freemason is, the Illuminati is supposedly tied to a Mason. I'm like, all the Masons I know are Black guys, and they're Illuminati. Right. So can you elaborate on that a little bit?
It's essentially, I did it when I was in Tallahassee FM. And essentially what happens is, from a parental standpoint, I guess I'll start there. You want to give your kids or your little nephew or something like that the best opportunity to be successful. So being in a situation where I traveled a lot when I first got in the corporate world, it's nothing like being able to go to Boston or go to Virginia or go to California. And you know that you're a part of an organization, for example, like, you know, we're both in fraternities, but it's the oldest fraternity, to put it in perspective. So if I can go to Boston and, you know, somebody from my lodge says, hey, look, you know, Brother Gibbs is gonna be there. Can somebody, you know, just take him out and go take him to dinner or whatever. It was more of a brotherhood from that perspective. But it's a Christian-based organization, and essentially what it does is it gets you to kind of look into yourself a little bit more and just try to leave with God in mind.
So it's social media before social media. It's just a networking tool,
basically. It's essentially a networking tool, yes.
See, y'all be trying to make stuff into something.
Make it into something else.
Yeah, it is something that we don't even understand. I get it now. Thank you, sir, for breaking that down for me.
Oh, yeah.
Making it plain.
There's bad apples in every bunch, too. So, I mean, you know, there's always, you know, something that could take it to the left, and somebody's like, well, you know, Mason did that. No, he did that.
Right.
Mason, that one person that might happen to also be a Mason that did that.
It's like the whole child star thing. Like, people always ask me, how did you avoid the child star curse? There ain't no child star curse. We all grew up with a drug addict, right? We all grew up with a stripper.
Right.
Mm-hmm. We all grew up with somebody who stole something or somebody who killed themselves. That doesn't mean that there's a curse.
Right.
It just means a different parenting, and, you know, there's statistics that weigh in there.
Yeah. You just haven't had the camera on you at that time.
Exactly.
Right. And we're not fans of you.
Right.
Yeah, but we're not gonna pretend.
Yes. Yeah, let's not forget that part too.
Yeah, that little part.
Thank you, gentlemen. Well, now the tables are turned, because you've been in my house all week. We've been bumping you, and my daughter be dancing and singing.
Oh.
So I know. When she's 6?
That's the perfect age.
That's the perfect age.
Because if she didn't mommy turn that off, that's how you know it's not working.
She'll tell you.
Oh, yeah, and it's been pure. She told me to turn it back on.
Yeah. Thank you, brother. Yeah, and we knew it was a good one, because normally, like, older people I know would be like, well, why don't y'all do something in gospel? But when we play this one, they'll be like, ooh.
Have y'all been paying attention to the Versus battles?
Yeah. Yes. Yeah, we just saw the Brandy and Monica one. Right.
Yeah, what'd you think about that?
I think, so my opinion, and I think other people may share this same opinion, is that Brandy and Monica have two different fan bases. You know, I said that a lot of Monica's fan base is, you know, pretty much in Atlanta or in the South type of areas, and they're not going to change. Whereas Brandy has a different mindset and a different group. You know, like even if you watch them, you can see Brandy was in a really, really eclectic style. And Monica was like super put together, like, you know, boom, boom, like red carpet ready right then. So it's a different fan base, in my opinion. I can't really say who I think won or didn't win. I think sonically they're about, you know, neck and neck. I think they're good at doing what they do.
It was dope, man. It was good to see the two of them, you know, after all these years. I enjoyed it, you know. Huge Brandy fan, huge Monica fan. Vocally, I think Brandy's just Monica's a beast in her own right. But yeah, I mean, just to hear their catalogs play back to back. You know, it just really kind of reminded you when you were growing up, like, oh shoot, I forgot about that. Mm-hmm. Like, especially when they played the joint with Brandy and Wanya. I totally forgot about that record, man. Yeah. So I enjoyed it.
That's crazy because I didn't even think it was close. I thought Monica just blew her out. I mean, I just thought it was, yeah, I didn't think it was close. I'm serious, man. Monica got hits, man. Like, you know, Brandy got some shit now, but Monica's like a different level to me, man. I just like her whole style and shit too, but yeah, I didn't think it was close.
I don't even understand how people put them together, honestly. Like, Monica is the baby mama in me, you know what I'm saying? But then Brandy is the, I grew up in a good neighborhood, I have two parents, I live in a nice home. Like, she brought back the sweetness, I think, of life. And Monica hit me with that COVID-19, you know what I'm saying? The reality of what life is.
Right.
That's a hard one, Corey. I don't even know how you judge that. I don't know why they always try to put Black women against each other. I think maybe Monica and Keisha Cole should have won.
Yeah, now that's a good one. But she would blow Keisha Cole out too, because the catalog's so long. But that's a great comparison right there.
But I'm saying that's what they gave. Yeah. Brandy, I'm not sure who we could give with Brandy. I wouldn't say Beyonce, because even that's different. But maybe Tamia.
Yeah, I could do
maybe
that.
Brandy and Mia. I don't know. I don't know. I just feel like they're so.
I don't know. I think Brandy might win that one pretty convincingly.
So who would you pin her against? I shouldn't say pin, but who would you put her with? What about Tamar Braxton?
Let's see. To me, it comes down to the catalog, right? Like, what ends up happening is the catalog is. It ends up being less about, you know, maybe who's vocally this or that, but like whose catalog can stand, you know, go toe to toe.
Right. What is it? 20 and 20?
Yeah.
Yep.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah. See.
Tamar.
I mean, Tamar is just such a. Oh my God.
Now that's who I would love to work
with. We saw her on was that Good Morning America? I think it was, and she was just kind of like sitting down doing her thing, and I was like, let's see how this comes out. She just shredded it. I was like, oh my God. I mean, so vocally, yeah, she's definitely way up there. Yeah, she's a
monster. Cherry, someone says you look like Monica.
Oh, well, thank you, because I think she's gorgeous.
She is. I wouldn't say, I don't know how much they look alike, but they both gangster as hell. Like, a lot of people don't know that. Cherry and Monica, they both got that gangster in them.
I wish I had her waistline, because she's a tiny little something. But that is definitely a compliment. Well, thank you.
Yeah.
Somebody else also asked, would you gentlemen be open to sing something a cappella?
Sure.
A cappella. That's probably going to be.
I'll sing a piece of that one. I'll sing a piece of the one that I sent you guys. Girl, you a savage. I love how you love the. You take it all from me. You cannot get enough. Watching you grip the mattress, I give you detail, I fill you up. It's such a bad habit, roll over, fall asleep. I need some more.
Okay.
Do you listen to
today.
Yeah, I was not.
We're gonna have some people taking breaks.
Hey, somebody just threw their panties at us, man. I don't know if you saw.
That's dope. Wait, I love how they both ducked at the same time. You swerved them. They don't want no problems. How are you going to handle that, being family men, going on tours, the groupies? Like, it's a lot. I'm just going to throw it out there. You know what I'm saying? It's a whole lot. Are you prepared for the devil, the temptation, for the panties?
I think it's going to probably be more, I mean, again, for the way that we do our music, it's more of, by the time you're actually performing, we're really already done.
Yeah.
You know, so it's not so much for us being on tour or something like that. To answer your question.
Yeah, we've been pretty strategic about how we approach this thing this time. You know what I'm saying? Like, I mean, we're not necessarily trying to be out front like that, although we can sing and we perform. But we're really enjoying, you know, taking people that can sing, people that can rap, and putting a really dope record on there and watching them go.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? So to your point, we'd rather be more like the Neptunes and with my occasional Pharrell appearances on records.
Right.
So, we want to sit in the Grammys and get the records with dope producers as opposed to having to meet the demands of being on tour and, you know, all that kind of stuff.
Right.
So we want to keep it balanced.
Yeah, they said that's,
I'm sorry, would you go say, Courtney?
No, that someone said that's church singing, church training. What church did you sing in?
I was in the choir at Bethlehem.
Bethlehem.
See, you bring it back to church after I took it somewhere else.
You know, the church I grew up, they were like on some, we're a praying church, you know, it's like, yeah, we're, you know, they're sitting like this the whole time, clap your hands. So, until we started going to the Baptist churches and, you know, anything that has tabernacle in the name.
Oh, yeah.
So we started going to those kind of churches. That's when I was like, okay, that trained my ear.
Oh, I like tabernacle.
Tabernacle.
A question. Now, you mentioned that you like grooming artists, right? Yeah. If there are some young artists, which there are, I can guarantee you out there listening and watching us now, how do they get in touch with you? What are you looking for? First of all, people don't understand that there's a way that you need to arrange your demo.
Absolutely.
Oh, yeah.
So can you talk about how arranging that demo is important and what they need to do and how they would get in touch with you and what you're looking for?
Sure. I can go, but I'll let you kick this one off, and then I'll see how.
So, okay, so basically, first and foremost, you have to be open to criticism. You have to be willing to listen. You know, if we're coming in as the professionals and saying, look, we think what you have here works, but can you consider trying it this way? Right. Or we might need to go back to the studio and record something like this. We do get a lot of people that will say no. Like, I don't want to do it. This is the way it needs to be. So that's a hard no right there. That person right there is not somebody that we're...
Right. But, I mean, as far as the demo preparation, you know, it's like anything, right? If you say you want to play in the NFL, you can't just be the fastest kid in your neighborhood and think that that's enough. You really do need to learn about football. You need to learn. You need to work out. You need to exercise. And so it's the same thing when you're doing your demo. You know, did you write it? You know, are you even trying to write? Or do you just want to be the talent? Did you get this beat off of YouTube? Are you actually working with somebody? Do you even know what your sound is? A lot of times we'll talk to artists and they'll be really dope and we'll say, hey, so who do you compare yourself to? And they'll say something like, you know, like Aaliyah. But we're like, but that's not your sound.
Right.
You know, so you have to be honest with yourself. So I think with the demo, being honest with yourself, really, really being true and not being afraid to create your own sound. You don't have to sound like anybody else. You need to sound just like you. And that's enough for all to work with.
Right.
It really is. Don't try to sound like, you know, Janae Aiko. Don't try to, you know what I'm saying?
You don't need to sound like
need you to be you 100%. Be right. Completely authentic, and we can work with that.
I'm sorry. See, what's going on? My kids is in the room playing Roblox. And they trying to play on FaceTime with their friends.
And it's ringing on yours?
You up.
And your friends is blowing me up.
All right. Hey, we all got to do what we got to do.
Yeah.
I was going to say the other part of that is, you know, we're very open. We're very accessible.
Yeah.
PennsDeep.com.
Yeah, at PennsDeep on Instagram.
Yeah.
Say that again, guys. If they want to do
PennsDeep, PennsDeep. So if anybody goes in there and shoots a message or something like that, you know, we're always open to work.
Yeah. And even if you don't have tracks, if you don't have production, if you want to, you know, send us a voice note or, you know, a freestyle voice note, you know, that'll let us know, you know, what you're working with too. Right. So you don't, you know, don't feel intimidated like, oh, I don't have any music. You know, we can tell.
Right.
So are you guys open? Do you listen to everything yourselves?
Oh, we pretty much listen to everything, yes.
Yeah, yeah. We are music junkies.
Yes.
Yeah.
I'll tell you just really quick, I had I was in a condo, just moved into a house recently, and when we moved in, we had a yard guy that basically came with the house. And, you know, as soon as I got up and got me some lawn equipment, we got rid of him. I go out there now about 2 days a week for about 2 or 3 hours, and I just got my headphones on, and I'm listening to everything, just everything I can.
Everything.
For like 2 or 3 hours at a time.
Yeah.
Wow. So what is the process when you're going in the studio to make your own music? Do you guys have to take a period where you have to clean your ear so that you're not picking up anything that you have heard prior?
Yeah, sometimes. I know sometimes you have to turn the radio off, you know, otherwise I'll come in like, that's some wop. That's not my song. You know what I'm saying? So we just have to like turn the radio off.
tell me about it.
You know, just unplug. And,
right.
And no shade. That's a dope. That record is really dope.
We love that you mentioned it because the day it came out, of course, I had no clue what it was. And Courtney gets on live and asks me, hey, do you know what WAP is? And I'm over here Googling.
Yeah, the WAP. That's the WAP.
I'm over here Googling, and I don't know what it is. Oh, stop!
That's how you know you're a parent.
That's
you
a parent. Hold on 1 second.
Right back.
Sorry.
Tell my little boy to call me no more.
That's parenting. Yeah.
Oh,
I knew that better be my home.
Boy, to keep calling over and over and over again.
That's funny.
But yeah, so when we go into the studio, and he teases me all the time because either I have a song in my head or he would have made a beat. But what do I do?
So I'll send him something, you know, whatever. It's pretty much 95% complete. And he'll listen to it and he'll say, yeah, but it needs a, you know what I'm saying? And I'm like, I have no idea what you're saying.
Yeah, I'd be like, yeah, man. I'd be like, just add that.
Right.
And he's like, what?
I don't know what you're trying to say.
I heard a hi-hat and a, I don't know what that is.
There you go.
I see it.
A congo and a hi-hat, maybe? Yeah. I don't know.
I know, for some reason, when I do that, I always put like a bongo in there. I don't know why I do that.
Eventually we get to it.
Yeah, he typically comes up with something just that's just ridiculous. And then from a songwriter standpoint, I'll say, oh man, let's open this part up a little bit more. Or, you know, I'll tease him. I'll say, hey man, stop pouring milk on it, man. You know what I'm saying? Don't water my Fruity Pebbles down. Take that milk out.
Right.
And then he comes back with something. I'm like, oh, you know what I'm saying? But it's that we just go back and forth like that. Or I'll play something on the piano and he'll just build something ridiculous around it. So, well, we have a good time with that creative process for sure. Yeah.
Ashley, well, first of all, they're laughing at you, Cherry. You got everybody laughing. But Ashley wants to know, would you do other music besides church stuff? And she says she loves what you do.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah.
I mean, right now in the bag, we've got country, we've got R&B, alternative,
yeah,
soul.
Afrobeat. Yeah. That's ridiculous. Yeah, mm-hmm. That was crazy. Yeah. So we've been playing with some Afrobeat stuff. We're working with this artist down in Dominica. We just love music, yeah, man. We're down for everything.
And I got another question. Someone says, could Cherry do some vocals on a track with you? Let me just say this. It's going to cost you because Cherry, hey, you can't get Cherry on a track like that. Cherry got them real vocals now. Cherry done did some work.
Let's be real. Cherry cannot sing. Cherry can, however, J-Lo.
Oh, get the people what they want. Come get on this Pins D track, man.
That's what you need.
That's what you need.
You said send you one. Okay.
No problem. No problem.
I ain't trying to mislead nobody. If you want J-Lo on your track, I got you. Get your little Pro Tools, Auto Tunes, whatever you call it, ready, because I'm gonna need it.
You already got the HD setup back there. We already hear it.
We're down to work with anything.
Yeah, absolutely.
Any type of music, any style, and we love gospel. We've actually been our friend Shannon up in Maryland. We've been kind of going back and forth with her. She's a really dope bass player that we met at ASCAP year before.
Mm-hmm.
But we've been talking about trying to do some gospel stuff with her too. So we're that's our roots anyway. Right, so right. Absolutely.
Oh, what else do people want to know, Courtney?
Phone call. Oh, well, they're still laughing at the phone call. And then you got people battling over Madonna. Somehow Madonna. And I don't know if it's Madonna versus Monica or what they're talking about. I don't know what you guys. Yeah, I don't know. I don't know how Madonna got thrown in here.
I don't know
that one either. Okay. Go battle somebody.
Not so much.
Craig David.
Yeah.
Ooh.
Anyway,
so. Who?
Craig David.
Oh, I like Craig David.
All right.
I do. Okay. Question. You guys have a single coming out September 18th.
Correct.
The name, where they can find it.
Do What I Want. So Spotify, Apple Music, Google Play.
Tidal.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. You can pre-download, do the pre-save link now. It's on our page at pinsdeep.com, at pinsdeep on Instagram. It'll be available on Spotify and all streaming platforms on September 18th.
Nice. Beautiful. September 18th. We in the house with Pins Deep.
Pins, baby.
Pins. Tell them again how to find you on social media.
Absolutely. At Pins Deep. It's PENZDEEP. So at Pins Deep on Instagram or pinsdeep.com.
And they read them DMs, y'all. They listen to them DMs. They say you put a voice record.
Yeah, you listen to your freestyles, everything. So send it over.
Your motto for the rest of 2020, what is it?
That is probably it.
That's probably the motto. I think our motto is, get what you came for. Mm. No matter what happens, we're going to get what we came for.
They really want Cherry on a track with y'all. Wow.
Oh, man, say something.
Have y'all heard me sing? Like, where did you get this from?
Yeah, auto-tune.
Yeah.
What's the other one? There's another one that's better than auto-tunes. It doesn't make you sound so mechanical. What's it called? What is it?
You talking about Melodyne, the one that's supposed to be?
Melodyne.
Natural?
Mm-hmm.
I need Melodyne first, right? Then auto-tune on top of the Melodyne.
Yeah, be careful. You spend your whole week in Melodyne.
You been sounding like a transformer do all of that.
Hey, so since everybody talking about it, what if Cherry just wanted to do one song right now, what would the process be?
Oh, man. So any excuse to fly right now would be dope. So you say we'll be there. Mm-hmm. But if not, COVID pending, of course.
Right.
But otherwise, so what we would do is we'd send her the track. We'd go back and forth with you on ideas, you know, via Zoom. A lot of times, you know, once I have a chance to talk with the artist and he has a chance to kind of get your vibe, I immediately go into overdrive. So I'll probably have a hook by that right. week for sure.
Right.
Now at least send you the hook and, you know, make sure it's something you feel comfortable with. Or instead of writing the whole song, I just write a hook for you and then you sing the hook, right? Even if you just recorded it in GarageBand, send us the Waves files from that. Mm. I'll tell you, we're going to keep it simple for you.
Mm. Okay. So you guys, Courtney, you're clowning, but I have a confession.
Okay.
One of my dreams and my goals, you guys, is to be a one-hit wonder. Mm.
We're here for it.
And so.
You ready? You got your microphone? Right there. Yeah. Is that a roadie?
It's a Yeti.
It's a Yeti.
Yeah, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So look, y'all playing out there? No, when I drop a single next year, sometime 2021.
No way.
Pins Deep is all on the credits. Yep. Courtney, I don't know, coordinating producer or something is there.
I'm going to be your Flavor Flav. I'm going to be your Flavor Flav.
Y'all better support my shit. Buy my shit.
I'm going to give you a couple yeah boys, and that's about it.
Yeah. We'll get some ad-lib tracks from Courtney and lace it with the ad-libs.
But in the inner realm, Pins Deep, you guys, September 18th. Please support.
Thank you.
Thank you so much for having us. Sure.
Thank you so much for being here.
Yeah, great meeting you guys.
Absolutely.
Welcome to Cherry's World.
Brought to you by Less Is More Events. Get Lime.
Shop all things Cherry Johnson at TheRealCherry.com.
Support for this podcast and the following message come from Corient. Corient provides wealth management services centered around you. They focus on exceeding your expectations and simplifying your life. Corient has been helping high achievers just like you enjoy their lives more fully, preserve their wealth, and provide for the people, causes, and communities they care about. As one of the largest integrated fee-only registered investment advisors in the U.S., Corient has deeply experienced teams in 23 strategic locations. Corient has extensive knowledge spanning the full spectrum of planning, investing, lending, and money management disciplines. Leverage Corient's exclusive network of experts to craft custom solutions designed to help you reach your financial goals, no matter how complex they may be. Real wealth requires real solutions. For more information, connect with a wealth advisor today at Corient.com. That's Corient.com. Corient.com.
You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to plan the travel experiences you'll have once you arrive. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, activities, excursions, and more in one place to make your trip truly unforgettable. Viator has over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from. Everything from simple tours to extreme adventures and all the niche, interesting stuff in between. So you can plan something that everyone you're traveling with will enjoy. Real traveler reviews give the inside scoop from people who've already been on the experiences you're considering, so you can plan with confidence. Free cancellation helps you plan for the unexpected, and 24/7 customer support means you can travel worry-free. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.